Hello everyone. Today we have an amazing interview with Pip Brett from Jumbled and Jumbled Online. If you follow her on Instagram, she's massively inspirational. I love watching her stories and what's going on. So she's got a lot going on and we'll go into that, but she's got a retail brand and store. She's also building her own home. Her husband's a builder and we really wanted to just talk to her about the building process, running her store, how everything combines, and I guess what she's learning through the process.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Krabashni.
And welcome to Building with BuildHerf.
Our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry. And as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
We actually went to an amazing event that Pip put on in Orange. So she's in Orange, which is a town in New South Wales.
West New South Wales, yeah.
West New South Wales. And it was the best and most well put on event I have ever attended in my entire life.
But you were one of the guest speakers and you were fantastic. You were really very inspirational and wonderful. You were so good.
It was very kind. I think Orange is an amazing place and just the way you were able to showcase that and bring so many women together. How many women came to that event?
450 women, which was amazing, yeah.
450 women, and someone told me that it was only like 4 or 5 months beforehand that you had this brainwave that you're going to do this thing.
Yeah. My poor staff, I come in and all my ideas come to me in the shower and I'm like, last night had this idea, and they're all like, okay. It was wonderful. It was great for our region as well because, you know, we've all been in a terrible drought out here, and yeah, it was just what everyone really needed at that point. I'm so grateful that it happened before Corona hit and everything, so I look forward to the next one.
So tell us, so when did you start Jumbled and what made you, well, what's the premise behind it?
Yeah, so I originally started, I have a clothing store as well called Igloo, and I started that about 14 years ago, or maybe longer now. I'm really bad with maths too, by the way. So I started Igloo when I was 21 and I studied a Bachelor of Design in fashion and always loved everything art and design. And then I bought my own house and realised how much I loved all of that as well. And then the idea of a homewares sort of concept store started, and that's where, you know, I saw a place come up for rent and I just jumped on it straight away, and I called it Jumbled because I had to take up the lease and I didn't know what I was actually going to sell, but I just thought it'd be a jumbled mix of all the things that I really love in one spot. And it's just sort of taken off from there, and we specialize in color and original art, and yeah, it's a really happy, lovely place.
It is. All your team seems super happy, and it's a clash. You know when people do something right and they just make you want to follow and engage? And I'm actually not a shopper, so shopping's not my forte, so the fact that I know your brand is pretty it's pretty up there. But I love everything you bring to the table, and it's really well put together. And I guess what I love is that you're able to give people a sense of who you are. What's your slogans? More is more, less is a bore.
Yeah, we try and sort of use that in across everything we sort of do. It's sort of like, I think that whole thing of telling a story and of who you are, I think is a lot to be attributed to social media. I think having a business in this day and age has been so beneficial for our business. Like when we started, there wasn't social media. And when I started Igloo, like we were only just getting a handle on email addresses. Like I was still sending out postal mail. But yeah, like lots has changed over the time, but I think in a really beneficial way.
Yeah, it seems fun. It seems like we're able to engage. And I know that you put things together in a really unique and beautiful way. So a lot of your artists, you have, well, your mum's one of your artists.
Yes, yeah.
I love her work. But you have artists that come through and you sell original artwork and you combine everything so beautifully that it's inspirational for people to put things together. I thank you for doing that. I guess what made you want to communicate that so openly and consistently?
I haven't strategically decided to do anything really in a way. I guess it's all just evolved from the very beginning, you know, the brands that you take on and the way you curate things and then your language that you use. I don't think it's something that I'd added on. It's just sort of evolved and happened. And at Jumbled and at Igloo, I, you know, made the decision to only sell the things that I really, really love. Back in the early days, I bought things that I thought other people would love or that I'd find. I thought, you know, I could sell that French provincial clock or whatever, even though I hated it to my core. And I just couldn't sell it. I couldn't even take a photo of it. I couldn't hang it in the store. But as soon as I made that decision, I think the business has just like really grown and evolved since then. And I think when someone truly loves something or they're passionate about what they do or what they're selling, like I think it just shines through.
Yeah, I think it definitely shines through. And look, I'd encourage anyone to check out at Jumbled online on Instagram is probably the easiest way. There is a website and you can, it'll link through and there'll be links below as well. But I think the kind of clash of colour and pattern and your enthusiasm for everything, including mopping the floor.
I do love the Bondi wash, floor wash. It's one of my favourite things in the whole shop. Strangely passionate about very odd things.
So you've gone from clothing to a store where you're selling all things you love, predominantly homewares, but there's books and floor washing and there's also a cafe, to building your own home.
Yeah, which is very exciting. So my husband's a builder, which is very handy. And we found this, Orange is a really beautiful place in really beautiful. And I'd always dreamed of having a view from the kitchen window. And we'd looked at a couple of places, but nothing major. And this block of land came up and I was away in Byron for work. And my husband rang me at sunset going, oh my gosh, I called the real estate agent. I'm out here now and it's amazing. Like you've got to come back and look at it. And the next morning I flew home and we had a look and we'd put in an offer the next morning. And it's just very beautiful block and always overextending ourselves probably every time you buy something new. Or we just bought the building that our shop was in, not that long before that. But yeah, I think it's just then been that journey of what you build on the block and what you envision. And that's been a really, really fun process.
I always find it harder to do something for myself. Sometimes it's hard to narrow down your ideas.
And also starting from scratch, like renovated things before, older buildings. And when you have no constraints, it's really hard to work out what you actually want. And I love lots and lots of different things. Like I'm a lover of things. Yeah, to narrow it down has been quite hard. But it's interesting from that first time we went to the block, some of the things that we said from that very first time were out there, we've actually been able to do and achieve. Like I think we were able to write a list of the things we wanted.
The things that were important to you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just interesting how those instincts from the very beginning of what the place could be like have actually translated now. Like we wanted the building to feel a part of the landscape and sort of be within the hill rather than perched on top of the hill. And yeah, it's just interesting how some of the things that you set off to do haven't changed.
Yeah, some of the houses that I like most, I've had the clearest visions when I've gone there. And it's not that I've had everything designed, I've just got this concept that is kind of rattling through, and then it's how to, it's like starting with a block and then whittling out, you know, like seeing how it evolves. So who did you get as your design team? How did you decide?
Yes, so I went to high school with Felicity from Studio Estetta down in Melbourne, and we have been friends ever since. And they, Sarah and Flea, helped us with our building, the Sonic, when we joined Igloo and Jumble together. We renovated a big old Masonic hall, and we loved working with them. And I feel like we really did that on the smell of an oily rag. Like, it was the tiniest budget and they were so good that we had dreamt of doing something with them. So we got them out pretty much straight away and started sort of working out what we wanted. And we just wrote a list of the things that we needed. And then that's how I just couldn't work out. I was like, oh gosh, I just hope we're going to get the house that we want. Like, I didn't kind of understand that whole process of how you go from nothing to like a floor plan to it, you know, then a design. They're very clever and I just love their aesthetic, and now I can see it all taking shape. I just feel really confident in them and what they've created.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favourite pieces of work that they've done is the Via Porta Cafe that they did. I love it. I so tried to get that floor. Do you know the floor in there?
Yes, yeah.
It's like a true terrazzo. So not manufactured, it's pieces of marble that have then been cut and kind of formed. And
so that's Sarah, who's part of Studio Estetta. It's her family. I just love all of their designs. They're very clever and really lovely to work with.
So will your design be very pared back, given that more is more and less is a bore?
Funny, like sort of, yes, sort of. Like at home, I'm a little bit different. Like I just hate stuff. I love clean surface, not clean surface, but like surface you can wipe down when you want it clean. I just wanted a really serviceable, simple house. I didn't want a big house. I hate big rooms. I find them to just be so wasteful, and you pop like a chair in the corner and you just throw all your dirty clothes on it. I just wanted really well thought through spaces where everything had a place, and it drives Speedy, my husband, mad. But I hate, like, if you're going to design something from scratch, I want all the ugly stuff to not be there, like, or to be well thought through and put somewhere. It's sort of killing his soul a little bit, but I think in the long run, like, it will be really beautiful.
What do you mean by that? So break that, like, when you talk about the ugly stuff, do you mean about the stuff on benches or?
Oh, yeah, and, like, the air conditioning vents and units and, you know, builders. I shouldn't say about my husband, but he'll easily go the easy road. he's like, oh, the architects are so annoying. Like, they're making all their decisions on whether it's going to look good. We always laugh that I'm form and he's function, and that's been an interesting process of us. But that's why we work really well, that he's very practical and I'm not. But I think if I stay true and he stays true, what we come to in the end is actually really has always worked really well. So I hope that that comes through.
Well, I think there are some really nice concepts in there. And in fact, you know, like without having spoken about this beforehand, there's a lot of synergies in like we're building our home at the moment and it's not a big home. If we don't need a big space, we need things to function really well. I need the kids to have a place to put their toys away. So, you know, like it just needs to flow right and things need to be really clean. And they're only clean if they're thought about beforehand.
100%. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Like I think if you write down those, people say the non-negotiables or the whatever, but the dream of your living, like how you see yourself living there as a family. Like I don't ever want to move from this house. So I guess another thing that we've been working on is how do we design a building that will grow and evolve with us. You know, our boys are 6 and 8, but how will they be when they're teenagers? Or my husband's like, we should put a lock on their door if they have a girlfriend home. And I'm like, oh, gross. Like, no.
Just don't open the door.
I know. I was like, you just have to think about, like, that's been an interesting thing to not get too stuck on where we are now, but where we also want to be as well.
It is really important to think about at the beginning. And I think this is why when you work with the right designers, they can start to draw some of these things through, because, like, I've got young kids, but they're only young for like a tiny, weeny little pocket of time. And so you do all these design things around the fact that your kids are a certain age, and really it's the progression that you need the house to be able to give you. And for little spaces for you to be together but break out and to really reflect your values.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And how you operate as a family too. Yeah, it's been such a fun process.
Yeah, I actually can't get the doing it once and having to live with that. Like, I'm building my forever house at the moment, but I can't even commit to that. It's like laughable, but I do love it.
If it wasn't this block of land, maybe it wouldn't be the forever house, but this is just like the ultimate view.
And you'll have to check out this view because it is stunning. And in fact, you're filming the entire process of the build and the block and how it's all coming together. That'll come out in a series.
Yeah, it'll come out in a series and blog posts, and we're sharing it on our socials as well. We just thought our core values behind our business, you know, we are about giving joy, inspiring and education. They're our three things that we want to achieve with Jumble. We're not saving lives or doing anything fabulous, but this is what we feel like we can give the world. And so we thought, why not film it? We're definitely like way out of our comfort zone, but it's been a really nice process. It's been lovely to be able to showcase the brands and the creatives and the designers that we love with our audience. It's just really good. Just, it's nice.
And your audience are drawn to, in my view, drawn to you and your energy. And Pip's got so much energy. I actually have no idea how you're doing it. Constantly jumping on beds. I think it's really nice to kind of see that and see that personal side of it, see you working with Speedy and see your home come together, because a home is a really personal thing. You do really put your heart and soul into it when you bring it together. So to be able to share that with people, I think, is an amazing gift. So I thank you. I've really enjoyed watching just the little snippets. It's not all together yet that have come through. What would you say of the build so far? Has it all been clean sailing, or has there been bits that have been challenging? Or
I think we've been working remotely with Studio Estetta, and that has its own challenges, but all in all, pretty easy. I guess it's just more the logistics of life that are kind of tricky. We're living with my mum, and we've been here for nearly 2 years, which has been quite interesting, but amazing that we can be here as well. And then just the business, us trying to juggle doing those various things, and now corona and homeschooling and things like that have been tricky. And also, I guess, Speedy and I, you know, the constant arguments over form and function. But now, even as I think the house wrap and the windows went up, Speedy was like, oh, I just get the really beautiful feeling in the space now. Like, I can feel it. I think the whole way he was sort of, it sounds a bit feral when you describe the house, like it's sort of that, you know, I take tours to Morocco a couple of times a year, and Speedy and I've just been to Italy before that. And, you know, that sort of Mediterranean house, that it is really simple and pared back and really earthy. That's what we were inspired by, but trying to do it in a modern Australian sort of way, so it doesn't seem like we've just tried to pluck it and pop it somewhere else, so it fits and feels. That I think he was like, oh my gosh, is this the house we want? I think he would have loved a country house, wooden, with a big veranda and symmetry and all sorts of things, maybe before we got married. But I think he's realizing once it's all starting to go up, like it just looks, I'm just really thrilled with the way. And we haven't compromised on any of the girls, like proportions in the ceiling heights and the walls. And so it just looks really beautiful and great. I would listen to them.
So something doesn't need to be necessarily big for it to work, but it does need to have the right space and the right feel and the right lighting and the flow, and even coming down to kind of furniture placement. And especially if you're like me, I don't like stuff either. Clutter kills me.
Oh,
somehow I can't think. I think it's because imagine kind of like you, like I've always got a lot of things on that I need the the space around me not to have clutter.
Yeah. And yeah, I love that. And I feel like being around so much stuff all day, pattern and product and things at the shop, that it is so nice, like is beautiful. I love to wipe down a bench and it's clean, you know. I don't have OCD, unfortunately I don't. My wardrobe is super messy, but everything having its place is just such a privilege and a treat. Like that's what I'm so excited about.
Can also be mildly daunting because you've got to think about everything and where it's going to go, and you don't want to get that wrong.
I know. Well, the great thing is that when we moved from our old house, Speedy, I was in Morocco and he sold everything. Like we don't have any furniture. I don't think he realised that meant we had to buy all new stuff when we go to our new house. But it just feels great not having belongings. You know, we've got our clothing and some artworks and a bit of crockery and stuff, but it's amazing to start from like scratch. It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I can't wait to see, I guess, how that all evolves. And have you started that purchasing journey again, or are you going to leave it till you've got the space?
I think I may have bought a little Spencer Shakespeare artwork the other day, but no, it hasn't started yet. It's more just the lights, those fixtures, that I'm still in that stage, but started thinking about artworks and things like that. But I just don't want to rush into that, only because I think a common mistake is that people buy things to fill spaces, whereas I really believe my favourite artworks and purchases, I still love staring at 6 years later. That I just want to make sure everything's right. I don't want to just be buying to fill a space. Like I really want to love the pieces. So I'm happy to wait and envision it a little bit more.
I get that. I bought a print for my daughter's room the other day, but that's pretty much all I've bought. And I've been looking at stuff, and even down to bedding. I know that's random, but I'm like, I don't want to do it until I've got the space all set up, because it is nice and we put so much pressure on ourselves to move in and have this very perfect house. But it's nice to be able to enjoy that process of bringing things together and have it change over time.
Exactly. And I think the loveliest houses that you go into, each item I feel like tells a story of their family or them or their travel or something like that, that I feel like I would love to be able to use some of the items that I already have of artworks. I just don't know where they'll fit or how they'll fit. But I think, yeah, I just don't want to ruin that story by I just went and bought it all at once. But also I know that there's so many good ranges. Like every time I see a new Sage & Claire range or something, I just think, oh my gosh, that's better than last time. I'm so glad I didn't buy bedding already. And then the next one comes out, I'm like, oh my God. But when you see things, you sort of like, I feel like you're able to really edit and pick things out. But that's the exciting part. Like I'm really, really excited about all of that stuff. It'll kill the architects when I start adding a bit of colour into the space.
it probably will. Knowing their kind of style and aesthetic. But I think it's nice for people to put their own mark on it. And if it's not your strong point, so styling is not my strong point. I think I've made that pretty clear over in every way. But sometimes what I'll do is I've sent it to Sage & Claire, I'll send you a photo of the space and I'm like, can you just put together a package for me?
Yeah, totally.
And that type of thing, I think, is if you love someone's style, it's almost like using a designer. But, you know, like I know that's on my horizon for our master. Like I know everything that's going to be there. I don't know what art it is, but I just want to send it off to someone who I love their work and just say, can you put this together in a way that I'm going to really enjoy? And I've done that before. And I get this surprise box of beautiful things that resonate with, I guess, what I like. And so you've got the talent of being able to do that yourself. Some of us are not so lucky.
Yeah, no, but I guess, you know, you've got to feel confident in what you love as well. But, yeah, even finding an artist or a designer that you like and just really waiting for them to release something that you love. Like you would love their style, but, you know, you can commission something to be done. But I often think some of the pieces that I love the most, like in terms of artworks, you would have never thought that you'd love that. Find someone that you like and touch base with them and say you can send me new stuff, like, or images of what they're doing. Then, you know, when the right piece comes along, you can jump on it really quickly and make sure that it's yours. But that's the fun part. The art and design, like, it's just so exciting to be able to, you know, do something like this.
So if you want to see Pip's house come together, so have a look on Jumbled Online. What's your website address again?
jumbledonline.com.
Yeah, that was really hard.
And then Instagram is at jumbledonline. Very simple.
And have a look at it come together. And I guess I'm hoping that you are also sharing some of the story of what it means as a family to build together, because that to me sounds like a completely different episode. But I know it sounds like you're having a lot of the same conversations with Speedy as I have been having with John. Yeah, so thank you, and we will speak to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.